Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Tuesday, May 23rd. Today, we're talking to Colorado Sun business reporter Tamara Chung about the latest jobs report in Colorado and what it means that the state's average hourly wage is nearing $36 per hour. Before we start, a quick message. Attention marketers, how do you make customers believe in your product? How do you achieve featured snippets or make the most of ChatGPT? The experts at Pinterest, HubSpot, Reddit, and more will be at Digital Summit Denver, June 27th to 28th, to give you the tools you need to transform your marketing. Register at digitalsummit.com/passes and use code CS250 for $250 off. Again, that's code CS250 for $250 off. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. On this day in 1868, one of the American West's most iconic characters, the trapper, scout, and soldier Kit Carson, passed away. For decades, Carson participated in essential events of Colorado and Western history. Born in Kentucky in 1809, he grew up in Missouri and set out across the Santa Fe Trail in 1826. By the 1830s, Carson ranged across Western North America as a fur trapper. He hunted and trapped in western Colorado, supplying furs to the ramshackle Fort Davy Crockett on the Green River and Antoine Roubidoux's vast trading empire. By the 1840s, Carson worked as a hunter for Bent's Fort and accompanied Lieutenant John Fremont on several expeditions across the West. In 1855, Carson joined his former boss Saren St. Vrain on a campaign against the Utes in what is now southern Colorado. When the Civil War commenced, he volunteered in New Mexico and fought at Glorieta Pass in 1862. After the war, Carson commanded Fort Garland in the San Luis Valley before retiring. Carson famously escorted a Ute treaty-making delegation to Washington, D.C. in early 1868, before moving to the new Fort Lyon. That May, Carson's hectic pace caught up with him. Carson's legacy endures through numerous Colorado place names, including Kit Carson County, a town in Cheyenne County, and a 14,171-foot peak in the Sangre de Cristo Mountains. Next, our feature story.
Welcome to the Colorado Sun podcast, everyone, and thanks for tuning in again today. I'm David Krause, one of the team editors here at the Colorado Sun, and I am excited to be here with Sun business reporter Tamara Chung to talk all things business on a Tuesday. Hey there, Tamara, how's it going?
I'm good, David. Trying not to breathe here.
Yeah, it's getting pretty smoky down there on the Front Range still, huh?
Yes.
Hey, you wrote in this week's What's Working newsletter, that's free to our listeners and everyone who appreciates the Colorado Sun. You wrote in the What's Working newsletter this weekend about the latest jobs report that came out in April. Before we kind of get down into the nitty-gritty, Tamara, can you give us some of the more intriguing numbers and pieces you found out of the April jobs report for Colorado?
Sure. So, you know, for the last few months or so, the job growth in Colorado has actually been slowing and even negative in some months. But in April, we actually added 7,200 new jobs. Most were in leisure and hospitality. And, you know, that was considered mostly good news for the state.
And so, you know, one of the things that I thought was interesting, and we've kind of touched on this before, but the average hourly wage in Colorado continues to go up. Of course, it kind of parallels with the cost of living. But right now, the average is almost $36 an hour, which equates to, if my math is right, and I am a journalist, so I use my calculator twice, that comes out to almost $75,000 a year. That's, again, well above the national average. Tamara, can you kind of break down how we get to those averages and what those tell us?
Yeah, a lot of the data comes from Bureau of Labor Statistics surveys. So, you know, always with a grain of salt, but, you know, these are based on statistics and surveys, of course. But surveys of Coloradans and how much they make, you know, whether they're employed and stuff like that. So Colorado tends to have higher incomes than the nation. As many of us know, that it's a little more expensive to live here than in some states, but it's a little cheaper to live here than other states. So we're kind of in that middle to high area. And I don't remember if you just mentioned how much it was, but here in Colorado, the average was $35.79 an hour for the most recent data. And that's, you know, and the growth in the past 12 months was 4.6%. So we are higher. There are many ways to look at that, though. You know, we may be making more than we were a year ago on average, but if you add in inflation, you know, inflation was a lot higher than 4%. So we're actually down, according to State Department of Labor data, where our wages are actually down 1.5% from a year ago.
But, and you and I chatted about this briefly before, Colorado's, wait, how do we say it? The national average is still lower than what the Colorado average was a year ago at this time. What does that tell us?
Yeah, so that tells us it's more expensive to live here than most of the nation. You know, our wages did grow in a year, and it occurred to me, actually, I've been tracking this for a while now, and we've long had a higher average wage, hourly wage, than the rest of the nation for, well, for probably years. But back in like 2021, early 2021, the difference was about 3.7%, and it's gone higher. It's gone almost 10% higher, but for April, it was 7.3% higher than the U.S. So, you know, that means a lot of things. Like, that means employers here are paying more per hour than other states, obviously. You know, we have a higher minimum wage here, and it's all part of trying to get people to a more livable wage as well, I think. You know, I had mentioned that we added more jobs than we have in most recent months, but we don't know if those numbers are going to change. And that's what I wanted to also point out, that in the past, some of these revisions have been better for the state. Like, I think in March, the state said we lost 4,700 jobs, but after revisions came in, we actually lost only 1,700. But the thing here is, you know, that was still a job loss. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen with April numbers, but we may know more actually this week. And whatever comes out with the revisions, I will try to report on for the next column.
Let's jump into the reader poll for this week. Talk about jobs, real basic. What are you doing for work? You've already got some responses back. Can you kind of walk us through what you're hearing from people, and also remind people how they can still go take that survey?
Sure. So, you know, because the jobs report came out and, you know, we're not quite sure, you know, even though the report was official, it's preliminary, so it's going to be updated. It made me wonder, you know, what are people doing this, you know, as we're about to head into summer? You know, are you working? Are you having two jobs? And so that's what I asked in this week's poll. Like, what's your job situation? Are you unemployed and looking for a job, or have you stopped looking? And a lot of the people, you know, we have a lot of people who are retired, so that's great. And thanks for responding to the poll. So there's a lot of folks who are retired and, you know, aren't really looking for a job. But we also have a lot of people who are working full time and also have two jobs. That's probably indicative of the cost of living here in Colorado. Costs more. So, you know, and some jobs, even though we have a higher average pay, it's not just not paying enough. But, you know, the other thing I'm hearing from the poll, which I find really strange, is, you know, some people, you know, they can't find a job, while as other people who are hiring, they can't find workers. And, you know, it is a little strange, but, you know, it's often the case. And, you know, I've covered technology for several years. And what's happened there is they've always had a labor shortage for tech workers because there's not enough people who are trained for those jobs. So even though, like in Colorado, there's two job openings or job listings for every person who's unemployed in the state, there's just not that great fit for everyone. So I'm wondering, well, what's going on right now with seasonal help? I'm hearing, you know, obviously in the resorts and in the mountain areas, a lot of companies are hiring for work. But then I've also heard that some people can't find a job, even just for a summer job while they're in college.
And so we have a meeting every Monday among the Colorado Sun staff, and kind of kick it around a little bit before we get going on the nitty gritty. And one of our reporters said their daughter was back in college and was having a hard time finding a college job, a summer job while in college. And, you know, my youngest is in college and last summer had 3 job offers. So, but was living in a mountain, we were living in a mountain resort town. So what do you attribute that to? You know, I always like to point out the fact that we have 2 openings for every 1 unemployed person, but can you put your finger on anything, Tamara, that would explain why some of the college students are having a harder time to find jobs this year?
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to say, you know, if anyone out there is, you know, a college student or trying to find that seasonal job and not finding one, let me know. I'd appreciate that. But, you know, I think the other thing is it's been such a tough labor market for employers since the pandemic. You know, they had to go through a really tough time of finding enough help. And so the people they have now, they're trying to keep and retain. You know, they want to make sure those folks have full-time hours. Whereas before, I think a lot of these seasonal jobs, I mean, companies with seasonal jobs would kind of not give as many hours to workers because they needed a large staff to rely on. But I think that's all changing. You know, employers have to be a lot more efficient in scheduling and trying to get the most out of their workers, but also make sure it's a good place for them to work so the workers stay. So I think that may be what's happening now. I mean, I have heard that from some employers, but, you know, again, if you're one of those employers, I'd love to hear from you to see what are you doing this summer or how different it is from when you really needed help. You know, did you stop hiring this year because you have the staff and you want to make the most of the folks you have been able to keep around?
Yeah. And for those of you who want to reach out, Tamara can be emailed at tamara@coloradosun.com. You can also find her tagline at the bottom of the What's Working newsletter, as well as coloradosun.com/business. Tamara, always a good time talking business and job openings. Want to thank everybody for joining us today. As I mentioned, if you want to learn more about the business news around Colorado, I really encourage you to sign up for Tamara's free weekly What's Working newsletter. It comes out every Saturday. You can find that at coloradosun.com/working. You can also go there to do this week's reader poll. Tamara, appreciate the time today. Have a great week.
You can read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. There is a breakthrough in the ongoing talks about how Western states can cut their water use from the Colorado River Basin. The lower basin states of Arizona, Nevada, and California submitted a long-awaited proposal Monday. Irrigation districts and Native American tribes in those states would receive federal funding in exchange for temporarily using less water. There would be $1.2 billion available, but officials did not say how much funding individual users would get. The plan would conserve an additional 3 million acre-feet of water from the river that provides water to 40 million people. Chevron Corporation is buying Denver-based PDC Energy in a $7.9 billion deal that will make it by far the largest oil and gas producer in Colorado. The acquisition continues a trend in the state of bigger companies buying up smaller ones. Chevron will acquire 275,000 acres adjacent to the company's present holdings in the Denver-Julesburg Basin in Weld County, with estimated reserves of 1 billion barrels of oil equivalent, a measure of oil and gas combined. Chevron will also get 25,000 acres PDC Energy owns in Texas. Colorado Springs voters chose a new mayor to lead the city last week, the first black elected mayor for the city and the first who isn't a Republican for at least 40 years. Businessman Yemi Mobilade's victory is being heralded by Democrats after his Republican opponent, former Secretary of State Wayne Williams, branded the unaffiliated political newcomer as a liberal. Some Republicans worry that the election is a death knell in one of the state's GOP strongholds. The reality is that many Republicans, including Williams, saw Mobilade's win coming. For more information on all of these stories, visit our website, coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again next time. The Colorado Sun is nonpartisan and completely independent. we're always dedicated to telling the in-depth stories we need today more than ever. And The Sun is supported by readers and listeners like you. Right now, you can head to coloradosun.com and become a member, starting at $5 per month for a basic membership, and if you bump it up to $20 per month, you'll get access to our exclusive politics and outdoors newsletters. Thanks for starting your morning with us, and don't forget to tune in again tomorrow.